Welcome to Go When God Calls podcast. You're a Christian, especially a young Christian, searching for purpose and direction in your life, then you're in the right place. Join me as we discover the awesome plans that God has for us through inspiring stories and interviews with others who have stepped out in faith. We will learn about the amazing things that can happen when we listen to God's call. So if you're ready to be encouraged and inspired, then let's go. Welcome to Go When God Calls podcast. I'm your host, Angie Wheeler Sabia, and I'm so glad you joined me today. Don and Terry Larson moved to Mozambique in July of 2011 to implement the Sunshine Approach business model. Don is the CEO and founder of the Sunshine Nut Company. Terry is the president and director of the social impact arm of the company, the Sunshine Approach Foundation. Before moving to Africa, Don had a long career in the food industry, his most recent place of work being the Hershey Company. Terry was an elementary teacher and spent 17 years in the classroom. Don and Terry are proud parents of three children and grandparents to four grandchildren. And now they are known as Papa Don and Mama Terry to the 30 children and eight mothers in the care of the foundation, as well as the 50-plus children the foundation serves in their community projects. Welcome to Go When God Calls podcast. I am so excited you're here today. This is Terry and Don Larson. And you know what? This is only the second or third time I think I've had the privilege chatting with you.
Yeah.
But I'm really good friends with Terry. I love Terry's heart for the community in Mozambique and the children. And now I'm excited to learn more about the business side, but I'm really impressed. So all of you who are listening, they own a cashew company factory, Sunshine Nuts. Am I right? Sunshine?
Yeah, that's correct.
Right.
I want to ask you today just to share your story because it's pretty amazing. There's a lot of things changing this day and time in the world and in missions. So this is my opinion. It may not be everybody's, but I believe that we can be a missionary anywhere, everywhere, and even in the marketplace. Yeah. And so you're taking business and missions and you're putting it together, and you're not just giving back to the community, you're empowering the community. My question is, how did you come up with this? How did you get here? And what's it doing? What's the impact? What's your goal? So that was a lot of questions in one question. I want you to be able to share openly your heart.
I'll let Dawn begin with that because really and truly, mainly at first, it was Dawn's call. And I was like, that's great. You go on to Africa and I'll stay here back in the United States and I'll do my thing while you're over there serving. But one thing we learned is when you're a couple and God calls the one, he calls the other as well. So it was initially Don's call and then God brought me into it as well. So I'll let him get with that.
Yeah. And, you know, I became a Christian later in life. I mean, in my 20s. And over the years, I just felt as I was sitting in the pews at church, an executive for Hershey Chocolate. You know, I had a great life. We had everything we wanted and we were moving up quickly. I just felt an unfulfillment. You know, they call it a midlife crisis, but I think it's God saying, excuse me, I have something for you and you don't have much time. You better get your act together. And so I literally gave up corporate America at the height of my career. I was a CEO of a $1 million company that when I left Hershey, I went and made product for Hershey because the opportunity was amazing. And that company was sold, but I just had enough of corporate life, and not through Hershey. I had been global sourcing director for Hershey, so I dealt with hundreds of companies. I was just so fed up with the corruption and the greediness and everything with business, you know. And so I decided to surrender completely to the Lord and give up corporate life. I told Terry, we're going to be a pastor, so start saving you know, foil and cleaning foil, we'll reuse it, you know, and things like that.
Ziploc bag.
You know, the missionary life, you know, the pastor's life. And
how did that go over?
I'm still learning.
Well, you know, and we had nice stuff. We had, you know, Porsche. I had a hot air balloon. We had suburban Philadelphia house of the pool. Yeah. I mean, going to elite, you know, the best private school. You know, it was quite a difference. But I just felt I needed to completely surrender, and that meant what I thought was becoming a pastor, okay, or a missionary. And so I went into it, and God made it absolutely clear after a year of going into the woods and praying and all kinds of things happening to me and people coming up to me. It was so evident. I mean, actually, it was even an audible, almost audible voice of the Lord telling us what to do, which was to build food factories in third world nations to bring lasting economic transformation, and even to name it Sunshine. And I'm like, that is so against everything that I plan to be doing when I surrendered to the Lord. But he said, I want you to do it my way. And so I spent time like, how would God do a business? You know, you look in the book of Acts, you look at, you know, all through scripture, and it's like, well, he would share. So we share 90% of our profits to do community help. He would make sure that what we're doing helps people. So there's no handouts, there's no building dependence, there's no entitlements, you know. He wants a hard day's work from everyone. And so we resist any type of free and giving. And so we go into the communities here in Mozambique, and they're like, what are you going to give us? I'm like, nothing. Goodbye. You know, and so they learn. Anyway, you know, so it led to something that would take hours. It's so clear that we were to go to Mozambique, and it started with a lot of different foods, but it narrowed down to cashews, which is easy. And so we moved to Mozambique back in 2011. Didn't know anyone. We came here. It's probably one of the most difficult countries, if not the most difficult, to do business. Very corrupt on the corporate corruption index that Transparency International does. Fraught with all kinds of problems. And so our mission and our whole personal journey is in every area of life to exude God's goodness, kindness, and character traits, mainly love. And so what we do here is through a business, because that's what God said to do, we're bringing the kingdom of God into our areas of influence. And right now, initially, it was Whole Foods Market that came. They said, what's this crazy Hershey executive quitting and going to Mozambique to the food company? So they sent one of their owners who was traveling in to see me, 2012. And it developed a great relationship. We've been in Whole Foods since 2014 for 10 years now, which is the best retailer in the U.S., probably in the world. And it's taken off from there. But our journey is really one of complete surrender to the Lord and not listening to what people say, but listening to the Lord. If we listen to what people say, you know, we'd be in big trouble. And well-meaning people, but, you know, it's the well-meaning people that think they can't be diverted from the enemy and be told things that are not good for the recipients to hear. So you balance that with good wisdom, but really you need that personal relationship, because if you're really going to go and do something for the Lord, the enemy's going to fight it hard. And so that's what we've experienced 12, 13 years here, correct?
Correct.
Is intense spiritual warfare, which is it's a badge of honor. You know,
that's a nice way to put that. I like that, a badge of honor, because it's hard.
Yeah. But, you know, you're in the right place when you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all through scripture. And quite honestly, for God to get you where you need to go. You know, I had a lot of money. I threw it all into the company. I mean, we have nothing. And that's exactly where God wants us to be, you know. But then to give 90% away, I have such a disgust for money from a personal wealth standpoint and everything that I'm so excited to be giving money away, you know, and to be doing things that we're doing. And, you know, so that's kind of where we're at. And the hardships and the things that we experience really shape us into who God wants us to be. And that's why Joseph was in jail. You know, that's why Paul went through his time before getting out into ministry. He doesn't write necessarily about what he went through, you know. But if you look at David, how many years in the woods with Saul running after him, you know, and knowing he would be king. But it made him who he is in order to be able to write the Psalms and to have such a deep devotion to the Lord. That all came before he got king. And once you get kingship, I don't think it's hard for God to talk to you because you're at the top, you know, and it's like, okay. And I think those people make a mistake in thinking, I'm at the top. I don't need you anymore, God. Thank you. But that's when you need him the most.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we often have young people usually come to us and they say, oh, I know God has called me to the mission field and he's called me to this. You know, what advice do you have for me? And our advice is always wait. You know, like just because God called you doesn't mean it's time to like forge out and go into
that plane.
It.
Yeah.
Because for us, there was definitely a period of preparation where when God called us to go to Mozambique, I was ready to go. I shut my classroom door in June and I thought that summer we'd be moving to Mozambique, but we didn't. It didn't happen. And we could have pulled the Abraham Sarah thing. And we could have gone and, you know, just left, but it would have been a disaster, I'm sure. And so what I learned then was there was just this time of preparation that taught me who I was in Christ and how to stand. Because once you get there and you are serving, like Don said, the enemy knows you're here and he wants to bring you down and he wants to take you out. And every day is a challenge. And so you better know that you know that you know what God called you to do, and you better be prepared to come and do it if you want to last and serve out the calling that he put on your life.
And let me just add in, if you're not experienced spiritual warfare, you should reevaluate what you're doing because you're not a threat to the enemy. You know, you might be even complicit to what the enemy wants. And I see that a lot, you know, and you see that with some of the teachings out there that are prospering so well. People are like, it must be the way because look at how wealthy, look at how prosperous. It's like, okay, well, is that God's prospering or is that the enemy's prospering? Mm-hmm. Because it's a false way, you know. I don't want to get too theological on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question because of something you just said. You know, I agree with you. You need to be prepared, and preparation for everybody is different. Can you tell or share with everybody who's listening what preparation was like for you? You know, for me, I remember in 2000, I came in December, but in the January or February of 2000, they had the floods. And so I was ready to come back then. I wanted to get on the plane and come. They needed nurses, but God was saying no. And so I went and took a class in medical missions because I'm a registered nurse to learn how to do nursing on the mission field. And I worked, I saved money, I fundraised, I did training. But what did you do to prepare yourself to come back to Mozambique? Yeah.
That's probably the most important thing. And all we did to prepare was go deep with the Lord and to develop a dying love for him. And when he made it clear that we were to sell everything and donate it, all of our worldly possessions, and go to a land that we don't know and break apart our immediate family and leave two of our children in the U.S., take our youngest with us here to break away from friends and family, to invest all that we had in it, you know, That only can happen when you're absolutely in love with the Lord. Yeah. No matter what he says, you're going to do it, including dying. You know, and when you look at the disciples and you look at the people in the Bible, you can't do it by just studying scripture and knowing your Bible verses and all that. You have to do it through a deep personal intimacy with the Lord. Oh, and you know what? So I went 15 years, but he did a lot of things that made me test. It was a test to see, am I serious about this? And when I quit and I was on my journey, Campbell Soup called me. They wanted to hire me, a senior VP position. It would have been the easiest job in the world, you know, doing what I did at Hershey. And I said, they interviewed me, all the senior executives, and they said at the end of the day, the head of HR said, I don't know what you did, but they want me to create a VP position for just you. And it's going to take 4 to 5 months. Can you wait 4 to 5 months? And, you know, I'm like, fine. Well, after 5 months and after full surrender, they called and I turned it down. And they called me in and had lunch with me. And the one executive said, how much money is it going to take Don Larson to join us? And I said, it's not about the money. I want to help people. And they were all very upset because they spent a lot of time and effort trying to create a position. And but I remember walking down the marble hallway thinking, this is absolutely insane. And my pastor, things that people in our lives were like, that has to be God. You can make a lot of money and give. But what impact are you having with just giving? We have now absolutely a brand in Mozambique. We're vertically integrated all the way to the farm level. We've been invited up to Palma, the conflict regions, by large oil and gas companies. We've been paid a lot of money to go in and do business in hardened Muslim communities. And those people are needing love, you know, and each village that we're going into, and we're starting a new project with another company this year in Nampula. So we've got a factory in Palma. We've got a factory in Nampula starting up to build. And we've got one in Gaza. And it's a 300-hectare community farm where we go to a village, typically 150 families. We give everyone 150 families, everyone a 2-hectare lot of their own land that we map off of unused land. And each family gets 500 cashew trees. They plant them. We put in wells. We give them all the education. We take their income from $33 a year, which is a subsistence farmer's income on average, according to officials, to up to $5,000 per year. And so every community that we're entering into, instead of having about $5,000 of disposable income in the entire community per year, we're going to have and bring in through export sales just for their cashews and giving them cash for their cashews, $700,000 in a community that has had nothing. So can you imagine the changes to the economic? And with that comes transformation centers that we can teach finance courses, we can teach ethics, we can teach, you know, health practices, do microfinance, we can bring in medical services and dental services, you know, just the amount of good that we can do, but most importantly, to prove out a model of how to do this. And what's happening a lot these days is you go into plantation farming. And my background's industrial engineering, robotics, automation, you know, and I'm like, I learned early on that you can shut down machines and employ people when the labor rates are low and provide just incredible economic benefit to people who really need it, instead of a machine whose payoff goes to a company who's living a high life somewhere on the Caribbean. You understand?
I do. That's what's happening in the world today. People are losing their jobs, and, you know, and there's machines that are doing them. So I'm like blown away. That excites me in a way. I grew up on a farm. And so that really excites me that you're giving back not just trees, but how to grow them, how to take care of them, how to process your cashews and sell them back to me, but you're giving them ownership of their lives.
Yeah, we also build a factory in the village. So the factory is for them to shell their own cashews. So they can earn 30% more if they just come in once every 2 weeks for a day, so that they're able to do their farm and take care of their... Some of the problems of these large factories is, you know, the women there, they get beaten by their husbands because although they have an income, they're not taking care of the children, the clothing, the food, the cleaning, and everything else. You know, their responsibility and their mashamba, you know, to live.
Yeah.
And so there's just heavy absenteeism, you know, and so we're doing a model where they have the ability to have their life and improve it greatly, but being entrepreneurs rather than employees. And our whole guiding principles, you know, are opportunities like that, but we give hope, we have dignity, we're looking to transform. That's one of the cornerstones of our company. You know, everything's done in love, and then community excellence and unity. So those are the good attributes, our guiding principles, you know. But then we have the fundamental issues that we go up against. You know, when you talk about the enemy schemes, you've got exploitation, which is rampant, people making millions of dollars. You've got corruption constantly that we have to not only stop, but prevent from others handling that. So we're very, you know, we're looking at bringing in unashamedly ethical program. You know, we're going on the offensive so that people who approach us with corruption, they're going to feel the effects of asking us to do something illegal. You know, the malnutrition we're dealing with, you know, inadequate healthcare. So there's just a whole educational. We have a team coming in from the U.S. that is training teachers. So this is what we've done every year for quite a while now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they come tomorrow.
They come tomorrow, and so we'll be taking those teachers around to how many schools? Five, six?
Six.
Six different schools where they spend a day training the teachers to be better teachers. And we do the same thing, doctors, and the doctors don't treat people. That's like a drop in the ocean. But when you train the doctors to be better doctors, that's a different story.
Yeah, it influences many more people.
Yeah.
I love this. And that's, you know, a lot of people don't know that. They think, okay, you've got a cashew factory, then you just deal in cashews. That's what I love about your whole ministry, your whole objective of everything you do. It's about transformation. It's about teaching them how to grow and be better people and therefore change their nation. So proud to people, but two, you love Mozambique. I've been in Mozambique now for 23 years. And so it excites me to see other people love it and are making such a big impact on the country that, you know, I've been in and love. So that is absolutely amazing. But that's just not all you do, because there's another side of the Sunshine Houses.
So we have the hands up, where we're giving people the opportunity to create income for themselves, income that's self-sustaining for generations. So when they plant these little two hectare pots, those trees will give off cashews for the next 25-30 years, and then in the meantime we do have nurseries where they can replant trees. So this will give for a long time, but not everybody can help themselves. You know, as you know, there are people who are in need of assistance, mainly widowed and vulnerable women and orphaned and vulnerable children. So that's where a portion of our profits go, and that's in creating Sunshine Houses. So we create families by joining together a widowed or vulnerable woman who has been abandoned by her husband, who she no longer has any means of providing for herself and is in need. So we pair her up. Yeah, those are our families.
See the pictures up above? Those are all of our families. This is our meeting room. This is where all the government officials come in and everything. And now we show them our families.
Nice.
There they are. We pair the moms with 4 to 6 orphan children. Our homes, we like to say, are homes for children who have no home. They have no family. They have no home. They've been completely orphaned or abandoned.
And they come out of really desperate circumstances.
Very difficult situations. So these people, they can't help themselves. So that is a work that we do where we are providing for them. But all of these children know that we are here for them to educate them and to grow them. And if when they graduate high school, if they want to go to university, we will continue to support them. If they want to go to a technical school, we will support them. But they know that when they reach that point at the end of their education, that's when the clock stops ticking and they then have to go out and make a life for themselves. So if they graduate grade 12 and they want to enter the workforce, we will help them find employment and enter into the workforce. Or when they graduate university, we'll, you know, do what we can. You know, it's not easy
to
find a job.
Tell them about the cereal, you know, first child.
Yeah, our first, we have children, they range in age from a year old all the way up to 22 years old. So our oldest, Cecilia, is now in her senior year. She's studying law at Universidad de San Tomas. And so she knows, at the end of this year, you know, she's going out, she's entering in the workforce, we will no longer support her with her monthly expenses and needs. We have another girl that just started university this year as well. So there are 30 children right now. We have space 7 more before we build any more houses. But yeah, we're up to 8 families right now that we have.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
One important aspect, and you mentioned in the beginning about business. You know, I'm part of a lot of different groups, Kingdom Business, Businesses Mission. I mean, there's so many buzzwords out there. Mm. But there's kind of a reluctance by the churches to embrace this concept.
Yeah.
And I hired 2 years ago a guy that's been a pioneer missionary in a very difficult area. He's been up to 10, 15 years with his family. He had to be extricated by a helicopter during the conflicts. They burnt down his school and his training center, but he went back in there and he now has access to every level of government, from the community leaders all the way to the governors, meeting on a weekly and monthly basis. You know, he doesn't hide from his faith. You know, we've got to be very careful. I mean, we're doing this to demonstrate God's love. And I'm just a firm believer that when a Christian truly acts and stops talking, there's going to be a lot more people that are interested in why we are who we are. And so so we're looking to spread God's love, and that is to everyone, not just to fellow believers. And so, you know, he has found an opening that he's never had before. You know, and that goes for everything. I mean, you look at the influence and the ability, and, you know, other faiths are very good. How do you live off $30 a year? We're bringing in factories that are, you know, off grid. So, you know, the electricity, everything is generated from within the factory. So, you know, all of that is something that I think people should take more serious, as it is a very effective means of being in the missions field.
Yeah, and of being able to reach people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know yourself, you have to have an in. You have to have a way into the community, into the hearts of the people, in order for them to trust you and then for you to be able to open up and witness and share with them.
Yeah, but we're not trying to convert. But normally what happens is they ask, why do you do what you do? And I say, you know, look at my story. I mean, no one forced me to surrender. God called me, and, you know, I went from having it all, according to what the world says is all, being very demotivated, very unfulfilled, like I'm not doing what I was created to do, to one completely different, where we're living very modestly, but we're impacting so many people's lives. And we know with that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we're in God's will. And it's the most abundantly fulfilling thing that you can be in, despite all the hardships.
Absolutely. When we were just getting started with this, and it was just the beginning vision, we brought in a team of professors and students from the University of Penn State.
Yeah.
And they came to do a quality of life survey with the families in the area where we wanted to do our first village project. And the last question on that survey was, what are your hopes and your dreams for the future? And I'll never forget the looks on their faces, family after family, person after person. When we asked that question, they looked at us like we had two heads. They didn't know how to respond. And often they would say, I don't have any hope. I don't have a dream. And they never have. But the one thing that they would answer when they did come up with something was a job. You know, everybody wants a job. And if you could provide them a job, then that's a way into their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Gallup did a study. It was to be a 100-year study. I think they started in 2005 or whatever. They ended it because they went in asking and, you know, like.
Well, the study was on people's hopes, dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a, but the answer, what people want in life, and people just want a job. And, you know, in America, like, jobs are easy to come by. Here, you know, they say that 80% of Mozambique is involved in agriculture. And yet they say agriculture is 99.9% subsistence farming. Well, they're not involved in agriculture. They just have no job. And in order to stay alive, they've got to plant food. So there's no employment. So look at the real unemployment. What is it? 80%+? You know,
probably.
And so you can sit there and you can talk to them about Jesus and everything. You know, if there's a in, you know, if it's gonna help them temporarily, they'll agree to anything. Okay.
Right.
But if you go in and you love on them and you say, no, I'm gonna be here for generations, I'm going to invest in this community, but you have to do your job. There's no freebies, there's no handouts, no. You rip me off, I'm out of here. You know, you do things that are typical because they're so desperate, and it's going to be a change scenario, and you're going to ruin it for yourself. But to be very honest and straightforward, they love that. And one of the things with the communities and the regional and even the provincial level, they're like, so many people come for projects because there's money available. But the minute the money dries up, they're out of there, and we never get anything. You are not coming for the money. You're coming because you care about us. And that is what the enemy is so angry about.
Right? Is. You know, this last week I've been teaching, well, actually the whole month of February, because it's the love month, I've been teaching classes with my boys. What we do is they come in and we do the basic Bible, but as they are here several years, we try to go deep into Bible study. And if they can't read and understand the Bible, then they'll never really understand the truth. So I sat with them and we talk about scripture and we break it down until it's understood. Doesn't matter if we just read one scripture a week. We meditate on it. We think about it. Then we want to apply it to our life. And so we've been doing 1 Corinthians 13. And it's been so interesting and so much fun, because in the last 3 weeks I've just seen my boys drastically change. I mean, it's like they understand the word of God. But what we learned was this: you can do anything. You can be intelligent. You can do whatever you want to do. You can sacrifice everything. Like we have, you know, I mean, we did sell it all to do and serve God. But the reason we did that was because of love. But if you don't have love, then you're nothing. And if love is patient and love isn't kind, then you're not really loving. And so this is what I love about this meeting today, this learning, is that we have the same hearts. It's all about Jesus, every bit of it. But it's his love flowing through us. And because of that, you're changing communities because you're not giving them a handout.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what it is. We are just learning how to just love. But love is what changes. Love is the key. Yeah. Love is
it
what
is
gives hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the love, when you change, then you evaluate your life. And you say, what's where is my life? And what do I believe? And
what's important?
Should I be believing what I believe? You know? And those are the very basic things. I mean, this is why an intimacy with the Lord is so important, you know, and to develop that. And so, you know, God's a living God. And I know more than anything, a lot of things have happened to me that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to tell you about those. Because it's fun and stuff.
I understand.
But those things are like, oh my gosh, this is all real. This is real. God is around us. He's around everywhere. And I was living a life like a monk for 2 years, right, Terry?
Yes, he was.
Everyone was so worried about me. They're like saying to Terry, you need to get Don back to work. He's out in the woods talking with the squirrels and birds. And I was having the time of my life with God. And it's like, amen. I would go back to that any day in the world. But God has a calling for me. And he said, there's a time to do that. We're going to have an eternity to have fun. I'm asking you to do this. And so that's why we're doing it.
I love the Lord, but I still want to go deeper. I know you feel the same way. We just always want more of the Lord and deeper and deeper. And I'm not saying that I walk in the prophetic with confidence yet. But I'm praying for God because I want to be discerning. I want the wisdom. But something that I felt as we're talking is God is going to open up so many doors, and you're going to go to places that you haven't even dreamed of yet. And there is a plan so much bigger than you are aware of. And so one of the things that I want to encourage on is this. You are right on when you say it doesn't matter what other people think and what other people say. It's really hard for me. For many years, I was a single missionary, and now I'm married, and I'm married to a Mozambican. And so that in itself is amazing, but yet there's different challenges that we face in Mozambique, you know. And so it's exciting to me to know that God has a plan so much bigger than us. And we don't have to worry about what other people think. We have to just keep looking to God. It's not easy, but it is. It's not easy. I mean, I know you know that.
Well, and some of the biggest problems are striving. Yeah. Is to be out of God's tempo to how things are going to move forward and striving to make things happen. And so a lot of the restrictions might be the Lord saying, no, you got to follow me. This is the sequence of how it's going to work, you know? Right. And so this is where I just wait. It's very uncomfortable for people, but I want the Lord revealing kind of where we're to be going and how we're to be doing things. You know, and he's always been faithful. He's always been faithful.
And you're right, Angie. It's hard. I mean, I always say, I don't think there's a day I don't want to just get on a plane and go back home. but, you know, we know why we're here, and we will stay here, and we will serve here.
Yeah.
And, Don, you always like to say how, you know, everybody always says God's an 1159 God.
Yeah.
He's like, no, he's like a 1201, sometimes a 1205, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, we just have to keep moving forward, and we have to have the faith and the trust of what he's called us to do. And we move forward and we do it.
That is absolutely amazing. What I wanted to ask you now, I have been doing some reflecting on my last, 23 years here. And my heart lately is not just about what I'm called to do here. I feel like God has asked me to step into something different. Keep doing what I'm doing, but also try and help others get involved in missions and inspire the younger generation, because, you know, they are the next missionaries or pastors or leaders of every country. And so I'm starting this podcast so that our stories can be told now, not later.
We need these new young missionaries to come because we're not getting any younger.
But you know, it's, I want to help them. No, maybe not struggle as much. You know, I mean, I pioneered everything. I came, I did everything. I didn't have a clue. And I still sometimes don't know exactly what I'm doing. So I love the fact you said, wait on God, wait and go talk to him. These are instructions and things that other people need to hear, even myself. Yeah. But embarking on these new things, sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking or challenging. Or what would you tell somebody that's, you know, like you said at the beginning, somebody says, I'm going to go, and then they want to get on the plane. And you've got to wait just a little bit. You need to prepare. But what would you tell them? What inspiring words would you give them?
Yeah, so during that two years where I'd go out into the woods, I did a bunch of trips. Then I bought a camper, and I took that into the woods and parked it for days. And I had to have my mug. And my mug is one that I still have, and I should enshrine it to make sure it doesn't get broken. It's a little pink mug with flowers on it. It's actually hers. I stole it from her, but it has, be still and know that I am God. And I got to tell you, you can do all preparation in the world, and you can sit and try and prepare and everything all through your own efforts. But if it's not led by the Lord, you know, during that intimate times, I'd be blown away. She'd come home with the kids she was teaching at a Christian school. I'd run out still in my robe, and it's 4 p.m. I'm like, you wouldn't believe the time I had with the Lord today. I'd be so excited. And my kids would get out of the car and like, Dad is going crazy. We need to get him help, you know. But I would, all day long, they would sit and God would tell me to go to, I would hear these thoughts, pick up that book, go to page 23. I'm like, okay, go to the Bible. This, oh, it's the same stuff. Go to this book. Oh my gosh, I'm being taught by God, you know? And that's what the exciting stuff was, that, you know, I've done sermons where the little devil is on one side, the little angels on the other, and they're speaking into your, you know, because, you know, if you're a strong Christian, you believe the enemy can't talk to you, then you're done. Yeah. You know, if you think you're so holy that he can't get close to you, he's deep inside you. So, you know, being able to discern the voice of the Lord and being able to discern the voice of the enemy. And it's very difficult to do, but you learn that. That's the key to everything, your preparation, because he'll take care of you wherever you go, whatever you do, and he'll open up opportunities. He'll give you teachings, wisdom, you know, and it's all according to his plan and not yours. So you can set a plan, but, you know, God determines the way and the steps, absolutely, right?
Well, and the Don and Terry Larson you're looking at today are not the Don and Terry Larson that arrived here 13 years ago.
Right.
Because, you know, you at first surrender to God's call. And that's the easy, exciting, fun part. Like, yeah, we're moving to Africa and you get all this attention and everybody's like blessing you and praying for you and helping you as you sell everything and prepare to go. And then you get to the obedience part where you actually step out and do it. And it shakes up a little bit. You know, you get here to this place in your life. It's hard and it's new and different. There's new languages, new cultures, new people. You're alone. And then you get through that obedience, and that's like when you start out on the water, and then sacrifice is when you start to sink a little bit, and you reach out for Jesus.
Like having armed home invasions.
Because there are so many things that happen where you think, did I hear? Did God like call? And so that's why I said, you have to just really know what he called you to do, and you have to stay. And while we would never want to go through all the discouragements and challenges and sufferings we've been through, we're thankful for them.
Because and we know why they were done.
It made us who we are today. And we're not done.
Absolutely.
We're not done. You know, we continue every day and we'll continue to face such challenges, but you have to do it with the right perspective and leaning into God and trusting in Him and looking for the way forward.
Amen. I just did a episode that I'm going to be posting soon, but I was talking in there about, I didn't realize when I was called how much that impacted my family. Now, I left as a single woman, you know, from Texas. And so that was something I never really thought about, how it affected my parents. You know, later on, my mom and I had this conversation about how it was so hard to let you get on that plane. I was 33 years old, but she's like, I didn't want my daughter to go to Africa. I didn't want to die. I didn't want anything to happen to you. And so for me, that was an eye opener to realize that my family was coming with me and they were having the same emotional problems I was having and issues I was facing. But that's different for you because you came married as a couple, but you left your children behind. How has this impacted your other children?
Yeah, you're speaking my language here. I don't know if you can see my eyes filling with tears. But, you know, we know what God calls us to do and we choose to make that sacrifice. And so we deal with it. But there is a huge sacrifice for our family left behind. Yes, I came with Don. I came with our younger son, but we did leave two children. My parents, you know, I wasn't there when my father died. You know, my mother now is aging and we have four grandchildren back home. And, you know, it's hard to leave them behind. But what is beautiful, and I'm sure your family has been through the same thing, it's grown them as well. Like their sacrifice in giving us up, it's brought them closer to the Lord also.
Yeah.
And then when they come here and they visit and they see what you're doing, it just transforms them. And then they get it and they support you all the more in what you're doing.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
But it's been hard for our children. It has.
And they've been very strong. I think we're a much stronger family. You know, if you think about where our family, you know, I remember my daughter picking up my son at Gordon College where he was going. And she said to him, every time I pick you up, you have the same shirt on, you know? And he's like, yeah, I got it at Goodwill. I said, I love it. I think I rock in it. And, you know, she told that story and I'm like, there's a guy, I used to make a lot of money. We used to have our kids in the best clothing and everything. But they are now so focused the right way. They're all strong in their faith. They're all doing things in their own right. You know, William is not too far away from us in the other office handling all the administrative. Cassie is also part doing all the U.S. sales and marketing and all, you know. So all of them are doing some great things. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, so I love
our family,
that.
I think, is a lot stronger and is focused in the right way now. Yeah. You know, back then, they were all part of a very wealthy community, and they had very wealthy traits and desires and all, you know, and I don't want to go into that, but, you know, we've changed. You know, we're no longer wanting really nice things in life, you know.
Don't forget the middle child.
Yes. Yeah.
The middle child, Brent, for some years worked for the accounting firm that oversees our accounts and oversaw. He now works for a different firm, but he supports us financially.
Yeah. And he's doing really well in the financial community and learning a lot. But, you know, he's doing international tax. I mean, I think he's preparing to join us when we get to a certain stature.
Yes.
My personal opinion.
It might just be because sometimes that training is so helpful.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was in, I finished nursing school and I started working in the hospital and, you know, it took me a long time. I worked my way through college and when it was done and I was working and making money, I just said, Lord, is this it? I'm just supposed to make money all the time. And so, you know, there's a time and a season and you get that training for a reason. And yeah.
Yeah.
So never know. You never know. So I want to ask now, I'm going to put in my show notes just about how people can check out your website. It's amazing. And I just want to know how people can actually purchase Sunshine Nuts.
Yeah.
How do they do that?
I think the best thing for them is through the website or Amazon.
Website.
Or,
oh, it's on Amazon now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been on Amazon for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Are you still in the local stores here?
Yes. Yeah.
Here in Mozambique?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're in ShopRite. Yeah, and then
ShopRite's a big one.
ShopRite's the main one that we're in here. And yeah, then a lot of other little stores that carry.
Yeah, Moz Meats. And we're in, what's it, the other main store?
The VIP Spar?
Spar, yeah.
Yeah.
We're in some of the spars.
Are you in other African countries?
Yeah, South Africa. We're in Pick and Pay. Oh, and we're growing in South Africa. Yeah, pretty well. Yep.
That's awesome.
And we're in Europe, we're in UK. We were in Dubai. We've got to change things around because, you know, you go with distributors and sometimes excited, sometimes they're not. So.
And then all over the U.S. We're in
all over the U.S.
Whole Foods.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
I love the packaging and I love where it says Mozambique right on it.
Yeah. You know?
And my, mm-hmm, my family, I shared with my sisters and I'm like, you need to go check it out. And they're like, yeah, where do we buy them? And I'm like, yeah, it's cashews from Mozambique.
Yeah, do Amazon. So, Amazon's okay. Or QVC. Right. I'm on QVC television. So, right. You know,
so,
I do shows right from the kitchen here in Mozambique.
Do you really?
The studio. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, if you go on, excuse me, YouTube, mention QVC and Sunshine Nut Company, you'll see all the shows I've done.
All right. I will do that for sure. That is awesome. Before we finish our conversation, if there's just anything that you feel that you would like to share with whoever's listening today that you feel like is something that out of your life experience, business, the Sunshine Home, something that will just impact their life, what would that be?
Just, you know, be aware of God's call. Nobody's called you to do. And when you step out, stick it out because it's worth it. It's really, really hard, but it's really, really worth it.
Yeah.
We would have it no other way. We're over here and at times we're just like, you know, but.
Suffering is part of the journey.
Know, but it's like Angie. But we could never stop. We don't want it any other way.
Yeah.
Stick it
out. I don't either. That's it.
Yeah. I know.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Go When God Calls, featuring an interview with Don and Terry Larson. Check out their website and his YouTube channel. You can also support their cause by purchasing cashews online or at stores near you. And don't forget to join me next week for another episode of Go When God Calls. God bless you and have an amazing day.